I would like to start with the question, and then from that we'll take it. But can anybody here tell me if he knows what's the purpose of life? Why do we live? What do we do here in this world? Who thinks he knows the answer? Yes. So we slaves?
Not like slaves, like he gives us a choice of what to do, but we just help him out. What to do in the world.
Wrong. We don't have to be sorry. We didn't come here to help God. God doesn't need our help. It was complete before we even were created. So that's not the answer. Yes.
I think we're here to, as Jews, to do mitzvahs, to elevate. We have a job to do, and that's just to elevate the world, and elevate ourselves.
Now you have to agree with me that when you come and let's say a person went to college and he learned 6-7 years and he became a doctor, so from day one that he went to that school, medical school, his goal was to become a doctor for several purposes. One, most of the time the main thing is for people is to make good living. It's a respectable job, you know, you have good respect in life, it helps you in many, many ways, but the main thing is financial. Sometimes people do it just for the satisfaction of curing people and helping others, that's also fine. But they have a goal, and the goal is that they're investing now in medicine because what they like to do is they like to achieve something, right? And the problem is that I have is like this. If we came here just to do a job, we have to know what's the purpose of that job. Every job has a reason. If a person is a lawyer, so he has a job, he has a mission, he has to achieve something. What is he achieving? He's helping people to become free, or to get them out of jail, or to present their case, and in return he gets money. The goal is money. Always, most of the time, the goal is money, because no lawyer wants to work for free. Most of the time, 99.9% of the lawyers, if you come and cry to them, hey, you know, I'm broke, I don't have money, please work for me 3 months for free, present my case for free, you will find excuses to pass your case away. So what's the goal? The goal is money. If the goal wasn't money, it would work for free. They have enough money, most of them, let's say. 20 years he's in business. He has already $20 million in his account. Why don't he now stop charging and do it voluntarily? Because the goal is the money. So what's the purpose of life? Just to do mitzvot? What's the purpose? No, what's the... So what do we achieve? If we correct, if we make a tikkun, we correct ourselves, what do we achieve by that? Oh, so what's the... We have to understand, what's the whole idea behind this? So Hashem created us that we need correction, and He put us here to correct ourselves, and that's it?
No.
That's the purpose of life?
Adam.
So, to begin with, you know, every creator has a purpose in his creation, right? No, but nothing was ever created without serious thinking before. What we need? They made these chairs soft. First of all, they made them beautiful, right? Because they want people to enjoy looking at them. Second, they made them very soft. Why? That it's comfortable. And they made the four legs, not three, because three it will be worthless. This table, the computer, the recorder, everything is designed based on what the Creator wanted to achieve. He wanted to achieve recording, that's why he designed like this. That's why you have holes here. If you wouldn't have holes, you wouldn't be able to record. So everything is based on what he needs to achieve. Based on that, he designed the instrument or whatever he needs. You understand? So what did Hashem wants to achieve that He made this world and designed this world and designed human beings and put them here? What was He trying to achieve here?
I heard that we need to allel the God, the allel to Hashem.
We have to praise Hashem? That's what we created? It sounds a little bit silly, you know what? Hashem needs to create us to sing for Him, to praise Him. God forbid, if that was the truth, we have a very serious problem with our God. That He wasn't satisfied and He needed to create us to make Him happy. You know, it sounds like He was in depression before He created us. So now we came, and now we came Him out of His depression. It doesn't make sense, you know?
He looked at the Torah and created the world, and He had Jews in mind, so... Well,
Jews really came later into the picture.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he asked everybody who wants Torah, you know, and we were the only ones that said, we will do, and we will say...
So as the purpose was just to give His Torah to people? You have to understand, a lot of the things you say has some kind of a truth into them. 5%, 10%. It's not an exact answer. Some of it is correct, some of it. But we want to touch really the purpose. What's the purpose? So the answer is, the Ramchal answered this question. The truth is really nobody knows. That's really the truth. The truth is, nobody knows why Hashem does things. What's behind His thinkings? What does He want to achieve? Nobody really knows. There's a limited way to try to understand why Hashem did it. It's very good that we cannot understand it fully. It's very good that we cannot achieve 100% understanding. You know why it's very good? Because we are human and He is divine. The creation cannot understand the Creator. You understand? If we would be able to understand holy thinking and every way, the way He interact and the way He designed things, then it will make Him not such a great thing. Because if people like us understand Him 100%, that means we are very close to His level. And of course, that's not the case. The Torah says, "Ki lo machshevotai machshevotechem," my thinkings and your thinkings are completely different. "Velo drachai darkechem," and my ways is completely different than your ways. The way the eagle is way above the worm, that's the way my ways is way above your ways. So automatically it doesn't give you any hope that one day you'll be able to understand or to act like Him. It's impossible. So we have to try to understand with a limited way, after all, what we're doing here. So the Ramchal, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato, one of the greatest people ever lived. He lived more than 200 years ago in Italy. And he was a huge Kabbalist, and he wrote some very famous classic books. One of them is perhaps the most famous one. It's called Mesilat Yesharim, Path to the Just. That's the name of that book. It has English subtitle and explanation. And this is a fantastic Musar book, great Musar book. Plus, not only that it's a great book, it's answering a lot of the deep, meaningful questions in life. A lot of the questions. One of the questions that this book is answering is that why Hashem needed this whole creation? And the answer was, the source of all good, He is not satisfied with His goodness unless if He is able to give it to others. You understand? I'll give you an example. If a father made a lot of money and he doesn't have children, he's married 20 years already, no matter what he tried to do, he doesn't have children. But he made over the years a lot of money. The more money that he has, the fact that he doesn't have children automatically make him more and more frustrated. If it would be a very poor person, of course, he's still upset that he doesn't have children. But someone who has a lot of money and doesn't have children suffers more than someone who doesn't have anything. A homeless on the street, if he doesn't have children, obviously he wanted children, but he says to himself, you know, anyway I cannot support them. So I'm looking at the good part of it. I don't have them, I don't have the headache because I cannot support myself. But someone has a palace with trillions of dollars and doesn't have children, it's very miserable. Why? Because what is he going to do with all the good he has? He wants to give it to others. So what do, these people? They start donating here, they giving here, they helping here, they adopting children. They want somebody to give to. Where did they get that trait from? Who designed them with this kind of spiritual feelings? Their Creator. They inherit that from the Creator of the world. the one who created Adam created them with the same traits like himself. That's called spiritual traits, personality. That's what Chazal says. Ma'u rachum, ma'fata rachum. The same way Hashem is merciful, you have to be merciful. He is kind, you have to be kind. It gives you a list of the good things about Hashem, which He's expecting you to be like this, and He created you with this ability. So the source of good, Retzon HaTov, Mekor HaTov, Retzono Le'ativ, His wishes to benefit others. So in this case, comes the next question. Okay, if that's what you created me, to make me enjoy life, to give me all the greatness, in that case, we have a problem. When we check the world, more than 90% of the people in this world, we have 6.4 billion people in the world, are more than miserable. More than 90% of the people in the world. You go to Africa, I don't have to tell you what's going on over there. You go to the Middle East, I don't have to tell you. I'm talking not only poverty, human rights, respect to the people, communism, you have no rights to talk, they can take away everything. People are miserable. You know, in America, look at the people here in America. Wake up 6 in the morning, go to work like crazy, come back 8, 9 o'clock at home, just to make a living, just to pay for food, for mortgage, for a little bit to drive a car. They have here and there a few moments of pleasure in life, and that's what. And I'm not talking about sicknesses, and I'm not talking about stress, and I'm not talking about the divorce problems, and not finding a soulmate, and having problems with friends. There's so many problems in life, so that's contradict the wish of the Creator. If the Creator created us to benefit us, we don't see that this is came through. It came through. It really didn't come through. There's few percent of lucky people, and even the wealthy people, I happen to speak to thousands of them in the last 14 years. Most of them are more miserable than the poor people. One time I asked a question. What's better to be? Poor miserable or rich miserable? So automatically everybody say, rich miserable. Everyone say, rich miserable. At least he doesn't have problems with the parnasa. Doesn't have to worry about paying the mortgage, paying the car. I have money, don't have money. I have money to buy meat for Shabbat. I don't have all this. You understand? So what's better? The answer is, it's better to be poor miserable, not rich. Why? Who knows why? Why?
Because you don't thinking about nothing. If you poor, you don't have nothing. Sleeping.
That's one reason. No, what else?
The Torah and the Tzad.
That's it.
You poor, fool, for God.
No, but I meant
car, not about diamond, not about
right. But I'm talking about someone. Both of them are miserable. The poor, in your case, you're describing a poor person that is very happy with his life. That's not the case. We're talking two miserable people. They both sitting on the floor and crying. One is doesn't have a penny in his pocket, and the other one is on half of Manhattan, and they both on the floor crying. Why? Why are you crying? I'm very depressed. I'm very miserable. And the other
rich,
one, the same
rich
story.
Crying because he have a half Manhattan. Poor crying because he don't have nothing.
You're right, but the question is...
But Ovi cannot buy everything with the money.
No, again. When you ask a person what's better to be, poor miserable or rich miserable, right away say rich miserable. Why? At least some of the problems the poor person has, I don't have. I have other problems, of course. But half of the problems that he has, I don't have right away.
Better not to be miserable.
Very well. No, what do you think?
Abbas says, he who is rich is happy with his lot. So part of it's a state of mind.
Yeah, well, that's true. But the answer, I'm going to explain what I mean. Why it's better to be poor miserable and not rich miserable? Because most people in this world, what's their goal? To be rich, to make money. 99.9% of the people, if you ask them, what's your first dream in life? To be a millionaire. Later they'll explain you why they want to build a shul, they want to sponsor yeshivot, they want to... Fine, but everyone has a dream. What? The first thing, to be rich. Now, when the rich guy already achieved that, and he's still miserable, he lives with no hope in life. He has no purpose of living anymore. He reached what he wanted, and he still stayed miserable. So his life is basically finished. When the poor person lives, and he doesn't have money, and he's miserable, he always have hope. The day I finally make a deal, the way I finally win the lotto, the way I finally get some good opportunity, that's gonna get me out of my misery. So the difference between these two people is that one is living in illusion, and one already realized that it was illusion. That's the difference. And the Ramchal asked this question, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato in Nesilat Yesharim, he asked a question, what's the difference between two people? One person lives against Hashem, the other one also lives against Hashem. They both lived in the dark. They don't know the purpose of life, they don't know what they're doing here, nothing. One is much better than the other. Why? They both in the same, they both not Shomer Shabbos, not eating kosher, not doing anything. One is miserable and lives in the dark, and the other one is also living in the dark. But the Ramchal say one is much better than the other. You know which one? The one who found out that he's in the dark is much better than the one who still didn't find out. Why? When a person found out that he's sick, and the other person has the same illness, the same sickness, but he doesn't know about it yet.
He didn't find out yet.
The one who found out has a way to treat his sickness, his disease. He goes, he takes treatment, specialist, surgery, special vitamins. After a year, he's out of the problem. The other one is not aware of his problem, and the situation becomes worse and worse every month. When he may find out his situation, it will be too late for him. Why it's going to be too late for him? Why? Because he's going to be dead already. You understand? How does it apply to us? How does it apply to us? It applies to us in this way. As long as we live and we recognize our problem in life, we are able to correct them. If we don't recognize our problems in life, how are we going to correct them? We don't even know it's a problem. Most people in the world today, since they don't know what's the purpose of life, they don't know what's wrong with them, because they do not know why we live for. First, you have to know why you live for. After you know why the Creator put you here and what's your job, then you are able to analyze your situation. Am I in the right direction or am I in the wrong direction? So in order for you to know if you're okay or not, first you need to know what needs to be done. If you come to work and this is your first day in a job and nobody explained you what your job is, you sit next to the computer and you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. So after 3 hours you get tired, you begin to punch numbers. You punch, you do this, you try and hear. So then somebody comes to you and looks at you, you don't know what he's going to say. You did good, you didn't do good. You don't know what needs to be done. Once you know what needs to be done, you are able to know if you did the right thing or not. Most of us live in a dream, an illusion. Because the purpose of life is not to be rich. That's not the purpose of life. Your Creator already decided if you be rich in the day you're born. Before you were born, it was announced already. 40 days after your creation, the Gemara says, the angel that brings the drop of sperm in front of Hashem, when a baby is created, Hashem is already deciding what's this baby going to be. It's already decided if it's going to be rich or poor, healthy or sick, strong or weak, smart or stupid. Everything is decided, except one thing. One thing was not decided. If it's going to be righteous or wicked, is not decided because it's in your hand. And from that we learn right away, since there's only one thing in our life that it's in our hand, that's the purpose of the creation. If everything else is not in my hand, nobody asks me if I'll be a man or a woman, right? was decided for me. So that's not my purpose. It's not in my end. Nobody asked me if I'll be healthy or sick. Some people, you know those people, they run, they jog every day, they eat vitamins, they go to the doctors every week. They try, and then one day they run in the middle of running, up, heart attack, and they nobody understands, how can it be? At the same time you have people smoke like crazy, eating cholesterol, 95 years old. It's possible. So that means, yes, even though I have, it's in my hand in a way, there's always a decision above me.
Doesn't mean you can't give up.
That doesn't, yeah, right. But again, it's in our hand because the Torah says we have to watch our health. But if Hashem needs you here, He needs you here, He'll keep you here whether you want it or not. Some people praying to Hashem, Hashem, I don't want my life here, take me. One time I came to Brooklyn, I gave a lecture there and it finished around 1 o'clock at night. Don't worry, it won't happen here tonight. It finished around 1 o'clock, then somebody was waiting for me outside. Can you do me a favor? I said, what's the problem? He says, I want to take you to my apartment to speak to my roommate. I said, no, you know, it's late now. Well, we're going to start talking, it's going to end up in the morning. He said, please, it's mamash pikuach nefesh. This guy doesn't want to hear anything about religion, he's anti. Come talk to him, half an hour, maybe something will happen. I came to the apartment, it was about 39 years old, French Jewish guy, a chef in a restaurant. So, I'm talking to him for 20 minutes. Usually when I come to talk to a person, I have a lot of proofs. I speak 20 minutes to a person, for sure he already knows the Torah, it's the word of Hashem, he knows what's the purpose of life. Tomorrow he won't be the same person. Why? It's very easy to prove. Very easy. It's like math. You know, you want to prove that 2 plus 2 is 4. You take 2 books, you take 2 more books, you put them together, you count, you know it's 4. It's easy. It's easier to prove that the Torah is the word of Hashem. It's easier. Very easy. Same way you can prove to now it's night outside. Same way you can prove that Torah is the word of Hashem. It leaves no doubt. It's not Hashem next Monday if we have more people. Next Monday, we're gonna take care of a screen, but you have to bring a lot of people. Everyone you know, every cousin, every friend, everyone that is not religious. It's mitzvah gedola, big mitzvah to bring them. And I have a big screen in with a projector, and I'm gonna give you the lecture of your life with many, many proofs about astronomy, about the oceans, about so many different things, prophecies that the Torah gave. Secrets in the creation, the body of the man. So many things that happen in life that right away you see, it's mamash the hand of God. Many things. Basically, there's few questions that people ask all the time. How do I know that the Torah is 100% the word of God? How do I know to begin with it's from God? How do I know the rabbis didn't make it up? They didn't add things. All these questions, next week, everything will be clear. Bezrat Hashem. But let's go back to the story. So the story, this person, I'm talking to him, usually I prove. And then the rest, the person starting to ask all kinds of questions, and I answer his questions, and in the end he realized, and we shake hands, that he start to keep something, or he comes to the yeshiva one day. That's how usually it works. Well, this guy was very, very strange. He's not interested to hear anything. All he wanted is attention. You know these people that only they want attention? So from the moment I came in, he said, I wish God will kill me. I wish He's gonna take me away. I wish, please, if you exist, kill me now. I don't need this life. He shows me the walls. You see the walls? See this hole? You see that hole? You see this hole? I do it with my head. That's how much I hate my life. Starting to think, maybe it's a crazy person, you know. We're talking. In the end, I told him, listen, you don't have to keep mitzvot. You're dismissed. You can do whatever you want. So I said, what do you mean? So the Torah says, someone that is not normal, he has no obligation to keep mitzvot. So he started to laugh. So his roommate tell him, why do you laugh, you fool? He's telling you that you're crazy. He didn't realize. So the guy started to get angry, started to curse me. He's pushing me out of the door, cursing me. The next morning, he was in Shachrit by Rabbi Siman Tov, Alav Shalom, in Brooklyn. The next morning, he was one of the guys in Shachrit. Today, he's making thousands of discs and giving it out for people to become religious. Why? Every person has his cure. Once I told this person, you can do whatever you want. You can kill yourself, you don't have to keep mitzvot. Whatever you want to do, you do. He was hoping that Hashem will kill him. All attention. But we are not crazy, Baruch Hashem. We are normal, and we have to know what our job in life. Why? First of all, we lost many years. We lost a lot of years. Second of all, we don't know how many years we have left. It's another problem. Third, one thing we know, that Hashem is not playing a joke with us here. If we read in the Torah, we see, if you're going to listen to me and follow my orders, I'm going to reward you and benefit you in many, many ways. If you don't, you're not going to listen to me, I am going to punish you severely. That's what the Torah says. Read Sefer Dvarim, almost in every page you see many, many punishments. The punishments of Hashem are way, way, way beyond any punishment you can imagine. Is worse than what the court giving you, is worse than what any other ways of punishment in this life, is nothing compared to the punishment of the Torah. I'll give you an example. The Torah says that a Jew that doesn't keep the agreement with God, which is the Shabbat is covenant between a Jew and Hashem, 12 times it's written in the Torah that Hashem is taking his soul after he dies and cut it out of the Jewish nation forever. That's called karet. V'nichreta nefesh ha'im Yisrael. It gets cut permanently. Nothing in life can be even close to this kind of punishment. Because even if life, they put you 20 years in prison, 20 years you sit, you watch TV, you play with a computer, you read some newspaper, you read books, you do some sport, you sleep, fine, you're alone. They put you in a room. Nobody likes this kind of life. But after all, if you ask the prisoner, what do you prefer, to be here or we kill you today? They say, we prefer to be here, don't kill us. So it's not so bad. For it's so bad, they don't want to live. They want to die. Most of them wants to live. So this is prison. This is 20 years. This is 30 years, whatever it is. Why does it compare to billions of years for a person to know billions of years after he died that Hashem isolated him and put him, whatever, I don't want to go to details. Just the fact that your father threw you out of his family forever and ever and ever, and it's never going to end. For what? For stupid shows that he wanted to watch on Shabbat or driving the car. Is it worth it? So most people don't know it. So because of ignorance, they are preparing themselves very bad future. Preparing. Right now they don't feel the difference. You know, right now a person does something on Shabbat, he asks himself, well, what did I do? Nothing happened. Look, I'm still okay. Two Russian people in Russia, the Russian army put them to watch the atomic place. You know where they shoot all the missiles? So they told them, you see all these buttons here on the wall? Everything red, be careful not to touch. Make sure nobody comes here. If somebody comes, you press the alarm. It's very dangerous. So they drink a little bit vodka, you know, it's cold over there. Now they're happy. So one guy tell him, how much money you give me if I press the red button? Crazy. So be careful. He say, okay, I'll do it for free. He press the red button. And his friend say, wow, you're crazy, what are you doing? He say, what happened? Look, you say anything happened? Everything the same. Don't worry. We okay. 2 minutes later, they hear siren, people running. Wow, what happened? His commander running into the office. What happened here? 50 million people died 100 miles away. Why? Because this fool pressed the button. That's what happened on Shabbat. Person turns the light on Shabbat, he doesn't even think he did something wrong. He lights cigarette on Shabbat. What happened? Look at me, I'm 75 years old, running in a park. I'm smoking on Shabbat. What's the problem, Rabbi? What's the answer?
I'm such today.
Something is waiting over there for you. What you do here doesn't mean it has to happen here. The damage can be in some other place. That's just a little example about Shabbat. What about tefillin? What's tefillin? What's the purpose of tefillin? Another agreement. Agreement. A sign. Ot al yadecha. Ot. Ot. The word ot means in Hebrew it's sign. An agreement. A sign. Like you have a sign in a store. As long as the sign is hanging, you know the store is in business. Once the sign is down, there's no more business. You know, right? That's the way it is. If you don't have the sign, you're not connected. You have the sign, you're still connected. Even partially, but you're still connected. Three agreements we wed with Hashem. One is circumcision, Brit Milah. Not only to make Brit Milah, to watch the Brit Milah, to live according to the laws of Milah, like Hashem say, only with Jewish women, only after you get married, only in certain days, sometimes it's not allowed. There's laws. What's kosher, what's not kosher. There are lines of laws, many laws. You follow the laws, you do it in the right way. You don't follow the way, then your children go against you. There's problems with your children, there's problem with your marriage, problem with your life, problem with your health, and you don't know the connection. You say, you know, bad luck. Look at me, I'm 50 years old, I cannot move. If you knew the reason, believe me, if you could correct, you wouldn't do the things that way. Most of the problems that we have in life is because we are not educated. We don't know. Because we don't know, we arming ourselves. We're creating damage to ourselves. We are, in a way, the biggest enemies of ourselves. Nobody creates more damage to us than what we create to ourselves. Not because we're sadistic or we hate ourselves. No. Because we are ignorant. Bur v'am haaretz doesn't know what Hashem told me to do. So what's the solution? Who knows what's the solution? What's the solution? No, the solution is to be educated. To start learning what's the life is about. What's the Torah wants from me. What my Creator wants from me. What's gonna happen if I do things right? What's gonna happen if I do things wrong? How do I correct what I did bad? There's a list of things that we have to learn. If we learn, automatically we become better. If we don't learn, we have no chance to become better. And since we don't have a chance to become better, we lose the purpose of life. We miss, we fail. We're gonna fail. So we have to invest in learning. You have to know one thing. Today we have in the world more than 80,000 religions and cults. More than 80,000 different religions. Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hare Krishna, this kind of Christianity, another cult, and another cult, and Hindus, and this and that. So many different cults. In India alone you have thousands of religions. Everyone is a different cult. So the question is, what's the difference between us and them? The difference is very simple. We, the Jews, started 3,318 years ago in Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. About 10 to 15 million Jews stood around Mount Sinai, millions of people. And God made us a show. Smoke on the mountain, fire, shofar, everything was shaking. For the first and last time in history, people that lived here in this planet heard the voice of God. One time in history. Only the first two commandments, that's it. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzeticha Meretz Mitzrayim. I am the God that took you out of Egypt. And the second one, you should not have any other God but me. Once God wanted to say the third commandment, the nation didn't want. They said to Moshe, please, Moshe, we're dying from fear. We cannot take it. Please go speak to him, tell us what he wants, everything we promise we're gonna do. That's the story, you read it in Parashat Yitro. That's what happened. So two sentences, only the Jews heard from God, that's it. The rest they received after 40 days, Moshe brings the Torah and he gives the Torah, and that's the history. What's with all this goyim? All these 80,000 religions and cults started after Judaism. Which is very good for us. Why? Because you see that the idea that they had to start a religion came from us. Before that, they didn't create any religion. Yes, of course, before the Torah was given, everyone bowed down to the sun, to the moon, to the animals. Nobody really knows what's going on. After Judaism was formed as a religion, they started to make up all kinds of new religions. But what's the difference between us and them? One thing.
Religion of the way of the life.
Religions, books, learning in a church, in Quran. What's Quran? Quran is religion. Somebody come.
Jewish life.
Jewish, it's
of the life.
Jewish is way of life.
Way of the life.
You're right. Torah means instructions. The word Torah in Hebrew is Lashon Hora'ah, instructions. That's what it means, Torah. So the point is like this. There are many differences between Jews and the Goyim. Many differences. But two main ones is like this. One, the only religion that started in front of witnesses, millions, is our religion. All the other religions started with the story of one person that never brought any witness to his story. Islam, Muhammad came from the desert, he told us a story that Malach Gabriel gave him the Quran, and nobody was there to say that he's right. It's his story. Plus it's full of mistakes and many other things, so you see right away it's not the book of God. Christianity, a woman named Maria, she came and she said that she was sleeping and God came to her in a dream and made her pregnant. And she's still a virgin. You know the story of the Goyim? That's Christianity. How many witnesses saw that God came to her in a dream? Not even one. It's her story. Especially when she had a reason to lie, because if she wouldn't lie, they'd kill her. Because she was already married. She married Yosef the Nagar, the carpenter. And they got engaged. And they were supposed to move in together. In between the time they got married until they were supposed to move in, she cheated on him. She became pregnant by some, supposedly a Roman soldier or somebody. And now she had to say a story. If she's not going to say that story, they kill her. Not like today, they give them candies if they do this kind of things. They put them on the TV. Look, she's, you know, in fashion. In the old days, a woman that did such a thing, it was the end of her life. So she came and made up a story, and now 2 billion people follow that nonsense. 2 billion people. Our Torah, you cannot go wrong. And that's what you're going to see next week. You'll be in shock. And I'm sure some of you already believe, and some of you maybe do partially mitzvot, but that's regardless. You're still going to be in shock. It's good once in a lifetime to see from A to Z. Not only for you, because every one of us has an obligation to save other Jews. You know, if you hear and you record next week's lecture in video or audio, and you learn the lecture of next week very good, you'll be able to make everyone you talk to religious. Everyone. Because you're going to have the answer to all these common questions that they ask all the time. How come this? How come that? You're going to have the answer to everything. You learn it once. You learn it well, you're going to know what to answer. You have to learn what to answer. Why? Because you have cousins, you have friends, you have brothers, you have parents. They always come and challenge you with questions. You're going to need to know what to answer. If you don't know what to answer, the other people think, they don't know what to say because they don't have the answer. You understand? So, one difference between us and the Goyim, that we have witnesses that God gave us the Torah. They don't have any witness. Second, they admit that Judaism is from God. The Goyim, they call their book the New Testament. And they call our Torah the Old Testament, which means we got it from God. You ask the Christians, where did we get the Torah from? The Jews said, from Hashem. We know that the second book that they made up, it's not from God. They claim it's from Hashem also. So we argue with them about that. We have many proofs. I have here a whole lecture about all the mistakes in the New Testament, one after the other. Leaves no doubts that it cannot be from God. But they admit that we're right. The Christians and the Muslims. What do you want better than this? They admit God gave us the Torah in front of millions of people. It's a part of their religion also, that faith that we have. We know that their book is not from Hashem. There's another difference. Another difference that we have is that the only religion in the whole world that it's a crime to be ignorant is Judaism. In all the other religions, if you don't know anything about Quran, if you're Muslims and you don't know anything about Quran, nobody treat you bad, nobody say anything about you, you don't have to know. You ask the Qadi in a mosque, he tell you what to do. You ask your teacher in a mosque, he tell you, hey, this do this, this you're not allowed, this you're allowed, you have to do it this way, and you believe all the nonsense they tell you, and you follow the religion. Nobody ever takes sanction or anything against you because you're ignorant in their religion. Our Torah, the opposite. The Torah, Judaism, it's a crime. You are criminal if you're ignorant. Why? Because the Torah, part of the 613 mitzvot that we got from Hashem, a very large portion of it is to become Talmid Chacham, to be knowledgeable, to know what to do. And the Gemara says, "En am haaretz chassid." There is no way to be righteous if you're ignorant. No way. There's so many things to know. If you don't know anything, how are you going to be tzaddik? You understand? Somebody that sits at home all day with covering his head and reading Tehillim, it's very nice, but he doesn't know what to do. You ask him tomorrow about Shabbat, is this allowed, is not allowed, he doesn't know. They don't know. I remember in the time of my... I remember in the time of my grandmother. They did what they knew. Everything they knew they did. They didn't do anything against Hashem purposely. The problem was that they didn't know many things. They didn't know how to read. They didn't know how to learn. So all they knew is the little bit they heard from the rabbi in shul. That's it. But that's not enough. Why? Because in business, they were very smart. Right? In business, look at your grandfathers, the Bukharians. When it comes to gold and diamond, he just smells the diamonds, he knows if it's good or not. You bring him a Persian rug, he goes like this, not good. Go. When you come to ask him about mitzvot, everything is good, son. Everything good. You go like this, you go, fine, everything is fine. Right or wrong? That's the way they talk. No, not right. Sometimes you do it like this, it's not mitzvah, bichlal, empty. I'll give you an example. A person wants to build a shul. So there's two ways to build a shul. To make it kosher, like here, mechitza, tall, or to make it modern, not modest, not according to the Shulchan Aruch, to the halacha. It's also good. Like this is also good. More people come like this. Here is mitzvah, here it's a sin. Here he paid $1 million, it's count in Shamayim, God writes in his book, made a big mitzvah, he made a shul. Over there, Hashem writes, he made Hashem Irachem a circus. Not a shul. Understand? It's the same money, the same efforts. Here it's mitzvah, here it's a sin. Why? Ignorance. If he only opened Shulchan Aruch and learned very good how to do it, he did it right. You did it right, you deserve to get reward. You did it wrong, not only you don't have reward, sometimes you get punished. You spend the money and you get punished. One guy, when he started to become religious, he went to some place. The place wasn't so good, not so orthodox. And the person in charge over there made him pay about $10,000 to make a party, Hanukkah party. So I say, well, okay, you know, you made a party in a shul. He say, yeah, but now when I hear your lecture, I understand that this party was all a big sin. I say, why? Because all the guys and the girls came and everyone kissed everyone and everyone touched everyone inside the lobby of the shul and the food, who knows if it was 100% kosher. So I said, now you have a problem. You sponsor this non-kosher party inside the shul. Not only you don't have mitzvah, not only you spend $10,000, now who knows how many sins is because of you. You understand life? What is life? Life is not a joke. You have to think million times before everything you do. The problem is, when it comes to business, people think million times before they do something. They want to buy a house, they check, they call the lawyer again, check this, check that, they read the contract, they come to check, they send the uncle, they bring the father-in-law. So many times, until finally they put the 10% the down payment. And they make sure that if something goes wrong, they can take the money back. When it comes to Torah, to mitzvot, to spirituality, Everything is fine. Well, you do it this way, fine. You do it, it's not going to work that way. We have to understand one thing. If the Torah was given by people like me and you, then you're right. Everything is fine. No big deal. That's his opinion. That's my opinion. That's his opinion. We'll do, everyone do it in his way. No problem. If it was given by the creator of the world, does it make sense that me or you or anybody can interfere with the decision of the creator of the world and change it just because he doesn't like it or because he wants to make it easier? You don't have anybody bigger criminal than him. That's what the Reform did. The Torah says a Jew cannot marry Goya. Hashem does not want the Jews and the Goyim to interfere together. Comes the Reform, they make marriages inside the shul with the priest together, Jews and non-Jews. When the Torah of Hashem says it's a very, very big sin to do such a thing, intermarry, very big sin. Wow, terrible punishment for that. What do they do? Not only they don't condemn intermarriage, they are inspiring people to marry the goyim. Understand? The next thing, they marry men with men. What does the Torah say for this sin? Stoning. Karet. Sure.
That's the worst thing.
Karet. Torah says karet is one of the worst things. Skila and karet. You don't have worse punishment than that. What do they do? No problem. And we are living in the 21st century. That's what they say. Understand? Shabbat, they come with a car. They do whatever they want. What's worse? To become somebody that doesn't keep any mitzvot and say, listen, I'm not religious, I'm not righteous, I'm not saying I'm righteous. I'm not righteous, I'm not religious. Or somebody that come and say, this is the way the Torah is. This way and this way, and changing every one of the mitzvot according to his needs. Who's worse?
To his needs is not good.
Yeah, he called himself religious. Reform. You know, sometimes they bring on a TV, Reform Rabbi. So the person will ask him, Rabbi, what do you think? I'm dying. That is such a joke. Not only is not a rabbi, any one of you that even didn't learn 1 minute Torah in your life, whatever, is million times better than him. Even the Jew that doesn't keep one mitzvah, just the fact he can say, listen, I'm not saying I'm not religious, is million times better. Or he's not as bad as him. Why? He modified the Torah. He renewed the Torah. He took the book of God and dismissed it with his hands and made a new Torah. Why? Because he wants to justify his evilness. He wants to justify his wickedness. He wants to do a sin and he cannot say, I'm wicked. So why does he come and say, no, it's allowed. You understand? That's much worse. And they're fighting. They have billions of dollars. The Satan gives them power. And they're fighting. And they go to Israel. Now they have a channel. Now the missionaries have a channel. We are in the last war in this life. We are very close to the end. You see the prophecy. The Iranian president preparing us another Holocaust. Everything is going to the according to the prophecies. What we have to do? Few things. We have to understand, first of all, the purpose of life. Second, we have to learn a lot of Torah. The more Torah you learn, few things will happen to you. One, you become a better person. Not even planning to become a better person. Just the fact you learn every day an extra hour, automatically, it's like antibiotic to your evil inclination, to your yetzer hara. It's mamash fighting against the cancer inside the body, which is called yetzer hara, the impurity of a person. It makes him a better person. The more he learns, the better he becomes. What's the proof? Go to the yeshivot. A person, before he enters the yeshiva, you can rate him, let's say, 50%. 50-50. He does mitzvot, but also he's arrogant, he's angry, he's not so generous. You come 3-4 months after he's learning Torah, he's a new person. You cannot even see anything connected to the way he was 3 months ago. A much different face, different behaving, calm down, much more knowledgeable, thinking better, his brain works sharp. A completely different person. I see it all the time. Makes the person a different, he's willing to forgive much easier, his pride went down, he's not so proud anymore. his life become million times better. You understand? Better, much better. What if he learns really Torah? I'm not saying somebody comes to sit in the shul just to eat grapes and peel apples. I'm talking someone who came really serious to learn. After 3 months, he comes to Queens, people call him rabbi already. 3 months he's in yeshiva. Why? He learned so much in 3 months that compared to the people who works and hardly learn, he's already like a rabbi. Yes, that's the way it is. We have in our yeshiva some Bukharian guys. They came with earrings, with long hair. Mamash, we have one guy, especially one, if I show you his picture before, the way he came to the yeshiva, you'll never believe he's a Jew, b'chlal. Not only not Bukhar, you won't believe he's a Jew. Look at him today. Mamash, serious person, with great personality. His mouth is completely different than 2 years ago. 2 years ago, every little thing he has something to say. Always negative. Always fight with people. Today, Mamash, like an angel. Whatever you do to him, no problem. Hashem runs the world. Different person. You cannot learn it in any college. You cannot learn it in life. Only the Torah makes you like this. That's one thing. Second, the biggest mitzvah in Judaism is learning Torah. Every letter, it's a huge mitzvah. If you read in 1 minute 200 words, you have 1,000 mitzvot in 1 minute. Multiply it by a whole day that you learn Torah, or 3 hours, or 4 hours, everyone according to his ability. Some people learn 1 hour in the morning, one in the evening. Some people learn 4 hours in the morning, and then they go to work. Everyone with his schedule. It's billions of mitzvot every year. I want to tell you a secret. A person that learns Torah 1 month in yeshiva, 1 month, he takes off from work, or even 3 weeks. He takes off, he comes, he learns from morning to night, and go back to life. Perhaps he does more mitzvot than a secular Jew does in 7 years.
What is it?
Chiloni. You take a religious person. A non-religious person that came to yeshiva for 1 month to see what Torah is about. He sat 1 month and learned and went back to his life later on. He already did more mitzvot that he's going to do in the next 7 years of his life. Why? How many mitzvot a non-religious Jew does in a day? 4 or 5? Here he puts a dollar in a box. Sometimes 2 Jews wanted to fight, so he stopped. So that's another mitzvah. One time he saw the guy from Chabad standing on the street in 47th Street. Hey, brother, come put tefillin. I'll put tefillin. Here is another mitzvah. One time the rabbi told him, listen, you don't have mezuzah in your door. How much? $50, here, put mezuzah. It's another mitzvah. How many mitzvot in his life?
What's the mitzvot? What is this?
Huh?
What is this mitzvot?
Mitzvot means, the mitzvot of the Torah. All the orders of the Torah.
Translation. What is this, actually?
Mitzvah means orders. What Hashem ordered us to do. That's what it means, mitzvah. Mitzvah means, metzaveh means ordering somebody to do. So that non-religious Jew that sat in yeshiva 1 month, based on what I just told you, that it's 1,000 mitzvot a minute, 60,000 mitzvot an hour, multiply by 10 hours a day, you have 600,000 mitzvot in 1 day. Multiply by 30 days, how many mitzvot is that? 18 million mitzvot in 1 month. I promise you, he doesn't do it in 7 years. Now take the religious people that sit 40, 50 years in yeshiva all their life. You cannot even come anything closer to their world to come. When they go to heaven, you and them is different world. But the sad story is that you could have become better than them. How do you know? How do you know your potential? The Gemara says that when a person comes in front of Hashem after 120 years, what's really the punishment is? Whatever Hashem decides that that's going to be his punishment, sometimes he puts him in a new body, and he's reborn in a new body, Gilgul, reincarnation. Sometimes he sends him to hell. Sometimes he sends him to the space. It's called Kafakela. There's all kinds of punishments. But the worst punishment is the shame, the busha. You know the shame? When you did something and the camera caught you on camera and they show it on TV in front of millions of people, What happens usually? People shoot themselves in the head. What's the problem? Why do you care if people saw you in a camera now that you stole money from the store? Why are you so embarrassed? Walk in the street. Hey, how are you? Yes, I'm a thief. No. You cannot walk out of the door. Why? Embarrassment. Sometimes people jump from the window when their world found out something about them. They cannot live with the shame. Now, I want to tell you a story. How do you know that a shame is worse of a punishment than physical pain? If you ask a person, what do you prefer? That I give you a real strong smack in your stomach, or that I'm going to say a bad story in front of the people about you? What is he preferring? He's saying, you know what, give me the punch, I'll take it, whatever happened, happened. I cannot take the situation that people will hear that story about me. Sometimes people are being blackmailed for millions for something that they don't want the people to know about them. Somebody that found out, if you don't give me $1 million, I'll tell everyone about you. What's the problem? Tell everyone whatever you want. What do I care? No. People will do everything they can to avoid the shame, the embarrassment. Embarrassment, busha. I give you a proof for that. One time when I was young, Baruch Atah Adonai Melech Haolam Shehakol, Kol Nehi Midbaro. One time when I was young, I went to amusement park in Israel. And you know, in amusement park, they bring a guy with a motorcycle, and he drives on the wall. It's round. You know those guys? They're round on the wall. Yeah. It goes like this. Like this, and it goes around and round and round. So one guy, there was oil spilled from the motorcycle. And the motorcycle slipped, and he flew, and he banged into the wall, boom, with his head, and he fell down on the floor. And everyone was screaming, they're sure he's dead. Something like such an accident, very fast, he's going fast. So everyone screamed, whoa! So after maybe 5 seconds, after he fell on the floor, you think this guy never get up. He got up, he's like this, you know, like, he doesn't see anything. But he went like this, I'm okay, like this. He went with his head, and everyone clapped. Then an hour later, you heard the ambulance took him to the hospital, and he broke his skull. He's in a very bad condition. So you ask yourself, why was it so important for him when he had that accident to get up and go like this? He's risking his life. Maybe paralyzed for the rest of his life because he did like this. He is willing to suffer all the physical pains than not to have 1 second of embarrassment. And the Torah said the biggest punishment in life after you finish it, you have to stand in front of your Creator, in front of God, that give you everything you have. Everything you had in life is from Him. Not only you don't say thank you, now you have to face the reality of all the mistakes you made in life, and you don't know where to hide from the embarrassment. That's very painful punishment. Because shame, it's a pain in the heart. When a person has shame, it's very, very strong pain, but inside the heart. I give you another example. Sometimes a person wants to make a scene, and a little baby comes and watches him. He wants to make a scene. A little 2-year-old baby comes and looks at him. Let's say he wanted to break the payphone and steal the quarters. Right? So he brings a big hammer, and just when he's about to break it, a little baby comes and looks at him. What am I doing in front of the kid? So he says, hey, go to your mother. Your mother is over there. He cannot do it. Once he sends him away, he breaks the phone. Sometimes he comes to break the phone, a guy is running on the street. The guy passed by the phone, hey, how you doing? He cannot break the phone anymore. Why? The cushy saw him. He cannot break the phone. Sometimes he's about to make a scene, the dog is coming and looking at him. Oh, a dog. So he pushed the dog, go. He tried to push him out and close the door or something. As long as the dog is looking at him, he cannot make the scene. After this person died after 120 years, he comes in front of Hashem Yitzbarach, Almighty. Hashem will show him that incident and tell him, tell me please, you despicable, ungrateful person. After 100 years that I gave you everything you needed in life, I am worse than a dog in your eyes. When the dog was looking at you and you're about to do a scene, you couldn't do it in front of the dog. When I look at you all your life, you can care less. You didn't care. For the dog you care, for the goy you care, for the little baby you care, but for me you don't care? What are you gonna say? Where are we gonna hide? The answer is very simple. Baimet, you got lucky, whoever came here tonight. First of all, Baruch Hashem, it's free of charge. That's a good start already. Second, it's not that long, we almost finished. Third, it's only preparation for next week. You have to know what is your job in this life. Whether you like to do it, whether you're in a mood for it, whether you're not in a mood for it, whether it's difficult, whether it's easy, whether you're healthy, whether you're not, whether you're rich or you're poor, you're married, you're not married, you have children, you don't have children, you have a job, you don't have a job, people hate you, people like you, all these things around, it's irrelevant. This is the way God wants you right now in your life. He puts you here and He's testing you. How do I know? Maybe it's coincidence. Maybe it's a Russian roulette. Luck. Throw the dice, he got six, you got one. Luck. Bad luck. Rabbi, bad luck. I left the house 5 minutes late, I got into traffic. I should have left 5 minutes before, I wouldn't go into that traffic. Or if he would leave the house 10 minutes later, he wouldn't die. That's the way people talk. Maybe they're right. Maybe it's all luck. No. It cannot be. You know why? Because in the book of God, it says that everything that happened needs my approval. Nothing can happen without Hashem's approval. If Hashem doesn't want you to die, nobody can kill you. He shoots 100 bullets at you, Hashem save you. Or he makes the gun doesn't work. Or he makes you get on the wrong bus that they think you somebody else. They killed the wrong person. Many ways Hashem will get you out of it. You need to die, you put hundreds bodyguards, you die no matter what happened. Nobody can escape from Hashem. You know, Cain killed his brother Abel in a Torah, he was trying to hide. Hashem comes to him and says, why are you hiding? Why, you can hide from Hashem? You cannot hide from Hashem. You can hide from the police, but not from Hashem. So, the idea is that once we see all these, this is the way God wants me in my test. How do I know that it's a test and not coincidence? Maybe it's luck. Because the Torah says, Ki menase Hashem etchem. Your God is testing you to see what's in your heart. When it's difficult, you still love Him or not? You still grateful or you are ungrateful? You go, you take the Varazano bridge, you cross the bridge, to get to Staten Island. What's in Staten Island? Nothing. You pay $9. You give them a $10 bill. He gives you $1 back. You say thank you. He's stealing your money every day in the name of the government. You say thank you. You come to eat something a minute later. You don't say thank you to Hashem. You have something delicious. Apple. Grapes. No thank you. Right? You have money to live? No thank you. You have children? No thank you. You have a wife? No thank you. You have a nice business? No thank you. You have a car? How many people don't have car? No thank you. I need more. It's not enough. There's no end to how much a person wants to get. And it's very limited what he's willing to give. You want to be successful and happy in life? You have to change your approach. You have to think, I deserve nothing. Nobody owes me anything here. I came in this life to give, not to receive. Not like people, they're always busy. Where can we suck more blood? Where can we get more? What can we get more for our money? Who am I going to find to do the job for me? My wife, my children, my neighbor will do it. My student will do it for me. My brother will do it for me. Everyone will do it for me. I don't want to do anything. That's the way the person thinks. But you have to understand, you came to this life to create. Your Creator put you here, like He says in the beginning, to pass the test. And you have to pass the test with a good mark. If you pass the test with 55 or 56, that's the way your Olam Haba will look. Your world to come would look 55, 56. If you put efforts, the Torah says, Adam la'amal yulad. The person was born for the efforts. That's the purpose of his creation. To work very hard. In Rosh Hashanah, in the beginning of the year, Hashem is deciding how much suffering each person will have this year. It goes by kilo, by pounds. This person will have 1,000 pounds of suffering this year. This person will have 500 pounds of suffering. This person only 10 pounds of suffering. This person 1,000,000 pounds of suffering. Everyone gets a decree. Hashem makes a decision about him. How to suffer, Hashem does not decide. It's in your hand. You have to receive 100 pounds of suffering this year. It's in your hand. How are you going to suffer? So if you decide to be tzaddik, to be righteous, you're going to wake up every morning, 6, 7 in the morning, you go to shul, you pray, you put efforts, and then you want to work to be on time because of you have to get up early for the shul. Every day, a little bit from the 100 pounds goes down from your list. By the end of the year, you didn't have to suffer anything. The only difficulty is you have to wake up an hour earlier to come to shul. Winter, summer, find parking. That's the suffering you had. It's aggravation. You come, you have to wake up. It's not comfortable sometimes. Person wants to sleep. If you don't get up, you get the suffering anyway. You cannot escape. It's Hashem's decision. Based on your last year, Hashem is deciding how this year is going to be. So you get it anyway. But you get no reward for that. You have no credit. You get it anyway. So if you might as well get the suffering, you might as well take advantage of that to produce some kind of credit for yourself. Understand? All these things, Bezrat Hashem, I'm going to give you a preview about next week's lecture. One of the things I'm going to talk about is going to be some of the discussions between Moshe and Hashem that proves that the only religion in life can be only Judaism. And all the other religions is against the rules that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. That's very interesting. One second. The second is, what's the difference between believe and know? Scientific proof or only believe with some doubts? The next thing I'm going to talk about is I'm going to show some of the verses in the New Testament and in the Quran that indicates that those books can never be written by God, only by a person, as opposed to the Torah. I'm going to show the difference on the text between the Torah and the other books. The Torah is one text, and the Christians have 150,000 different texts. Another thing we're going to talk about is the wonders in a creation that proves that only God could have given the Torah, because the wonders of the creation were already in the Torah 3,000 years before the scientist in our generation was able to reach that knowledge. I'm going to talk about the fish in the oceans and what the Torah promised about what's kosher, what's not kosher, and from that we learn that the one who created all the oceans, he is the one who gave us that part in the Torah. I'm going to speak about the number of the stars in the universe. Who knew it before, the Torah or the scientist? I'm going to talk about the renewal of the moon. I'm going to talk about the genes of the person and the way that people look in different parts of the world. We're going to talk about gravity. Who knew before, us or them? We're going to talk about the sun, the way the sun is built, and how the Torah was giving us this information way before the scientists. I'm going to speak about the Holocaust, how it was described in the Torah from A to Z, the Holocaust, with names, with dates, with everything. Germany is only 135 years old, Germany. The word Germany exists only 135 years. Before it was the German Republic, 260 years old, from the time of Bismarck. We have information about the Torah clearly in the Gemara about Germany that comes from Esav, what's going to be, what they're going to do in the world. I show you all these prophecies. And some parts from Hitler's diary that indicate exactly what the Torah was telling us about Esav, talking about vitamin K in the blood and the circumcision, talking about archaeology discoveries, how they fit exactly what the Torah was telling us, talking about scroll, papyrus scroll that was found in Egypt, that describing the exodus of Egypt, comparing them to what the Torah says. There's an Egyptian reporter wrote it, and it's in a museum in Holland today, showing parts from what he wrote, and it was written a few months before the Torah was given, that part. 16 pages is in a museum in Holland, was found by the archaeologist. Speaking about codes in the Torah, equal codes and hidden discoveries in the Torah that we can find only with computer today. Speaking about psychology, Jewish psychology inside the Torah, and how objective is the Torah in the stories compared to other religions. That's already enough for hours, what I just told you. It's going to be a very interesting lecture. Perhaps we won't be able to finish everything in one lecture, so we'll do the next one in the following Monday. I have a very, very important request from each one of you. Until now it was Malkiel. One person to organize a lecture is not that easy, especially when it's religion. People are interested to watch basketball. That's what they want. That they think that they came for life to watch a movie. So now we have more than 20 people that can help. Each one can bring 5 at least. Nobody can tell me here that he cannot bring 5 people with him next Monday. Right? If you try, 5 phone calls.
5, 10. 5,
at least 5. We're already going to have 100 people. So Bezrat Hashem, don't forget about it. It's important. It's very big mitzvah. If you bring a Jew and he becomes a little bit better than before, you have the merit from his mitzvot for the rest of your life. You and your children and grandchildren forever and ever. Someone who saved a Jewish soul, it counts like he saved the entire world. Why? Why? He only saved one person. Why he has to get reward like he saved the whole nation? Because this person will become a nation. It's him. He has 5 children. And he's going to have 30 grandchildren. And he's going to have 120 grand-grandchildren. And then 60 years after you die, you're going to have already 1,000 religious people in the world. Why? Thanks to one phone call that you made. There's no end to how much you can earn. And at the other end, if you have friends that you don't care, you come alone, you're egoistic. It's a big mitzvah. You gotta think about other Jews, because a lot of the people here, Bukhari and in Queens, they can tell you about my lectures. We started, when Malkiel started? 3 years ago? About 3 years ago, there was more than 100 for sure. Bukhari and young people that were not Shomer Shabbos, living almost like goyim, and today they go to shul every day, they live like mamash tzadikim. I'm saying 100, believe me, it's way more than 100. It's even maybe more than 300. It's a long time, 3 years. These 300 will become eventually 300,000. You understand? Why? People made efforts to bring them. And how these people became religious, believe me, they're not dumb. Before they were dumb. Now when they saw the details, they realized that's what I'm living for. I might as well do what I was created for. So every one of you has an obligation. It's not my request. This is the request of God. God say, Ocheach tochiach et amitecha. You must improve your Jewish friends. And if not, it was in your hand to improve them and help them spiritually to become better, and you ignore them, you count as guilty as them in their sins. That's what the Torah says. And that's, by the way, explained why so many religious people died in the Holocaust. Because they were religious to themselves. They did everything. Well, when the other Jew went and married Christine, he didn't come to the wedding and scream. The Satmar Rebbe, in his time, the first Satmar Rebbe, when he was 18, I think, 18, the story I heard from Rabbi Aderet, there was one rich person in a community, the richest guy in a community, and his son was about to make a mixed dancing wedding, the first mixed dancing wedding at that town ever. Nobody ever dared to do such a thing. Always it was Jewish, religious, men separate, women's, holy wedding. The first time, because he's very rich, everyone is afraid to talk to him, he decided to make a mixed dancing. So the Satmar Rebbe came over there, and he told him, yes, are you invited? He told him, he looked at him, Hasid, you know, skinny like a stick he was. So he say, no, but I'm here anyway. He said, why, what are you doing here? He said, I came to ruin your son's wedding, he says to him. He said, no, I'm not going to let you in. He said, yes, I'm going to go in no matter what happened. No matter what you do, I'm going to ruin the wedding. Cannot let this wedding take place. So he told him, listen, if you're not going to leave the place, we're going to take you out of here by pieces. Cut you to pieces. So after he saw he cannot enter, they don't let him in. He did his best. He left the place. When the wedding finished, the true story, his story I'm telling you. When the wedding finished, this rich guy, the father of the Chatan, he had a big factory that working 24 hours producing something. He got a phone call from the factory that there's something stuck in a machine and they don't know what to do, if he can come over. He's with his tuxedo. He went to the factory and the machine is stuck, and he put his hand inside and said, I see what the problem is. He put his hand something inside, he moved something and he was sucked inside the machine, and the machine cut him to hundreds of pieces. You know, like the grinding machine, he came from the other side of the machine, pieces, like these little pieces. Nothing left from him. What he told him, if you're not gonna leave, we're gonna cut you to pieces and throw you out of here. Few hours later, Hashem did it to him. Measure for measure. That's what life is all about. You do something to a person today, 30 years later, you get it the same. You don't see. Why you don't see? Why Hashem didn't give the punishment right away? We'd be better life, no? If a person kill, Hashem kill him right away. Very nice. Nobody will kill anymore. Right after 2-3 people kill, they die right away, nobody will kill. If somebody steals $100, a minute later he loses $200. Very good. Nobody will steal. You can put your stuff on the street. Nobody touch. Great life. Like we have in Muncie. You live in the grass. You come here later from Israel. Everything is there. Nobody touch. Great life. No, all over the world will be like this. You don't need police. You don't need court. You don't need all this headache. Why? Why Hashem didn't make the world like this? Because that's not a test anymore. Understand? The whole purpose of this creation was to design a test. If everything is so clear and nobody kills because he's afraid to die, and everyone is keeping Shabbat because once he's gonna light a cigarette on Shabbat, he dies right away, like the Torah says, Mechalel Shabbat Mot Yumah, everyone will keep Shabbat, even the Goyim. Everyone will keep Shabbat. If everyone who gives charity gets right away double, you know what you would do? Instead of go to 47th Street, you would stand by the window of the yeshiva, all your cash throwing inside. Rabbi, catch! You throw 1,000, 2,000 fell into your basket. You take the 2,000, you throw in, 4,000 falls. All day you're like this. Even Arafat will come to the yeshiva to give all the billions he stole. That's not a test. You know what the test is? The test is that you came to shul, you pray very strong, and you put $100 in a box, and you left the shul, and what happened? You got your car towed. $300 damage. That's a test. I just gave $100 to the shul. I come out, this is what I get, Hashem. Where is the justice? The justice is in the words of the Torah. You trust me that in the end I make justice to everyone, or you don't trust me? That's the test. Ki menaseh Hashem etchem. I'm testing you in every step of your life. That's why sometimes you cannot find a job here. I met somebody now in Main Street, a computer engineer, computer programmer. I asked him, "No, how are you doing?" Finally, I worked. I started to work yesterday. What do you mean, finally? 1 year I couldn't find a job. So I told him, "What? In your job, usually people like you find a job right away. They need computer programmer." He said, "Yeah, but when Hashem doesn't want you to find a job, nothing will help. Doesn't matter. It's easy, not easy. When Hashem wants you to find a job, you find a job. When Hashem doesn't want you to find a job, nothing will help you. Nothing will help you." My wife aunt, she married an Israeli genius guy. He has a master from Harvard, from Columbia University, from NYU, from the Hebrew University, from so many universities, titles one after the others. For 3 years, he's also in computer, in management, in business. Such a genius guy. 3 years he cannot find a job. 3 years he couldn't find a job. He got to a point, he had a baby. I had to lend him the money to buy the crib and the stroller. A few hundred I didn't have. That's how bad it was. And I asked him, "What is this? You have all these titles, you have such a job. Supposed to make hundreds of thousands a year." He said, "I cannot find a job." I asked him why. "Everywhere I go, they tell me you're overqualified." What happened? He invested all his life for this nonsense that he was learning to become another degree. Those degrees are the one who ruins his life. Why? Because every factory that he goes, every business that he goes, the boss, the manager, is afraid that in 3 months this guy will take my place. If I accept him to the job, with all this resume that he has, who needs me after 2-3 months? They kick me out of the window, and he's gonna be the new CEO of the company. Right? So he cannot find a job until finally he found a job. Baruch Hashem is wealthy today. As this story I'm talking to you 10 years